Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
They say there are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This is one of them. Sure, it's a crime story, but this one's kind of complicated. Intellectual property. That's right, baby. Copyright. Trademarks. What happens when the public domain gets a little too public? To explain it, you need someone who knows the law. To some, he's a mild-mannered attorney. But to us, he's the copycat. Oh, and it's been a busy week for the copycat. Drama about a Wrecking Crew documentary, one of the Village People winning back rights to some of his songs, and a popular hip-hop site wondering why they were shut down for a year. The copycat is John Reichman, partner at New York's Kenyon & Kenyon LLP, and, as always, Jonathan Reichman is pro-copyright. John, welcome back.
Thank you, John. How are you?
Good. So let's see if we can run through all these different stories. Let's start with Da Jazz One, hip-hop
yes.
website, seized by the feds and shut down in November of 2010. What is going on? They've been put back and no charges filed.
Well, it's very interesting because the statutes are written to basically allow the government to step into court and seize property that they consider to be involved in copyright infringement, and to do it without involving the owner of whatever equipment or website is making use of the material and allowing them to come in and defend themselves. So the government deals with the court, gets a warrant, and gets to seize a website, take it down, seize the domain name, and does it pretty much, as far as the owner of the website is concerned, in the dark.
Mm. Now, in this case, the RIAA, the Recording Industries Association, said that Da Jazz One had at least 4 songs that were unauthorized links on their site. So that's at least 4 separate incidents of copyright infringement. They're claiming, the guy who runs the website, that those 4 songs were given to him by the artists or their representatives, and that they knew that he was going to be doing this, and it was seen as publicity.
Yes, it's very interesting, because what happened was the government initially went into court and got this seizure order and then kept getting it extended and extended. They kept having to run back to court saying, we don't have the proof to support it. Give us more time. Give us more time. Ultimately, they gave up, and what I suspect happened was that the owner of the website was correct, that he was getting links to these songs by either the artists or the producers who wanted to publicize it. So the RAA and the producers, the official producers, the record companies, couldn't come up with it because, you know, either unbeknownst to them or behind their backs, the website had been given the song by the artists.
And does that actually protect them, the website, that is, from legal action?
Oh, yes, yes. If the copyright owner gives you permission to do something, allows you to use the material, then you're licensed, then you're legitimate as far as the copyright law is concerned.
Right, but I'm thinking of, you know, a situation like you just said where maybe unbeknownst to the copyright owners, i.e. the record company, a producer of the song has slipped it to a website and said, here, you know, it's fine to link to it, it's going to be great publicity, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because if the person who gave the permission is involved in the song but is not the official copyright owner, then you're right. It's not licensed. It's not permissible. But I think what happened was these record companies, either for public relations purposes or in the interest of maintaining good relationships with the artists, felt that they couldn't, in effect, renege on what the artists had done. So they quietly decided to give up this case.
After over a year of having this website shut down.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, the owner of the website is put, you're really, really in a horrible position. I read some of the blog commentary on this, and they're saying, well, does he have an action now against the government for being shut down without just cause for this extended period of time. I think it's conceivable. I think that there are plenty of lawyers out there who might be happy to take his case.
And we're talking about, the four songs in question, some pretty big names: Chris Brown, Nelly, Jamie Foxx, and Reek DeVillain with this song called Mechanics.
It ain't nothing like hip-hop music. Get 'em.
See how I come back in a flash with my foot on the gas. As you can see, homie, I got it for the air. Uh-huh. Pour the kettle, I don't want no bubble in my glass. Uh-huh. Subtle but aggressive when I hustle for the cash. Then I use my muscle when I'm busy shuffling the trash.
Watch her swim.
I got a couple in the stash. Look, and if you gotta know, I got a hotter flow. We celebrating, mama, now I wanna spend a lot of dough. Harder niggas know they father gotta grow. Cause I spit it proper, children get to follow when I bro.
Yes.
See, I only needed a minute to get them in it and getting them with it. Now they shaking their ears slow. Doing the dash, yo. Ladies hugging me and they running soon. They hit a banger, hitting a dance flow. And if you ain't knowing by now, you can't stop it. And whoever need the antidote, you know it. You got it.
Let me stand. I'm your mechanical man.
Damn.
This that thing right here, that music miss
made. So this song from Reek DeVillain, called Mechanics, featured Busta Rhymes. And according to the website, The Jazz One, it was Busta Rhymes who gave them the song. To link on their website, one of the four songs that got them shut down for over a year. They've now been put back up. Without so much as a sorry about that by the industry. John Reichman is the copycat. He's a partner at Kenyon & Kenyon LLP, an intellectual property law firm here in New York, and he's the guy we go to when there are copyright issues that need to be unraveled. Victory for Victor Willis in the news this week. Victor Willis, the policeman, sometime naval officer from the Village People, regains partial ownership of some pretty big songs. This is something we've talked about before, John, the so-called termination rights.
Yes, and this is something that the record companies had been fearing. They saw coming down the pike a long time ago. When the current copyright law was enacted in 1978, a provision was put in to allow copyright owners for the music industry, that's mainly the artists and the writers, to in effect cancel licenses that they had made after 35 years, in effect to give them a second bite of the apple and the opportunity to renegotiate the deal on more favorable financial terms. The record companies had planned. This was a very interesting decision because the record companies had planned for years to rely on a doctrine called work for hire to be able to say that the artists and the writers were working in effect as employees of the record companies. So therefore, it was the record companies that owned the work of their employees. In this case, it's interesting because the music company Scorpio Music dropped the work for hire argument and went on a much more tangential argument, that namely because Victor Willis was one of several writers, a group of them together had to terminate this old license, that he couldn't do it on his own, and the court completely rejected that argument and found in favor of Willis.
So Willis now owns the copyright to songs like YMCA and Macho Man and In the Navy. So this is potentially big news, not just for Victor Willis, but for there's going to be a whole series of artists whose songs can potentially be renegotiated copyright-wise, songs from the late 70s, early 80s, as we head on through the next couple of years.
That's right. That's right. I think we're going to see a whole slew of these cases. When Congress wrote this provision, it was really weighted in favor of the individual creator and against the company. And what this decision does, it totally backs up that philosophy of Congress on this front. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more cases coming down the pike. Eventually, one of the cases, the producer will continue to pursue this work for hire argument. And that's the one I think that copyright experts and people in the business are going to be watching the most closely to see what a court does with that type of
argument. Yeah, and whether a record company can say they were employees, but they weren't given health benefits or any of the stuff you usually give to employees.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, so John Reichman, the copycat, talking about copyright with us on Soundcheck. And the third of our big stories this week is The Wrecking Crew. This is the incredible backing band that recorded so many hit songs in the 1960s, and they're the subject of a documentary. The documentary cannot be commercially released because they can't afford to clear the rights for the songs that these musicians recorded. Still trying to raise $175,000 to clear rights for some songs. They were quoted by one record company a price of $2.5 million to clear the songs that they wanted. Does this seem out of whack to you somehow, that a kind of a secondary work of art about these musicians is being sort of held hostage this way?
Yeah, it's kind of a unique confluence of factors here. I mean, in a typical documentary, you know, there might be one or two tracks that need to be cleared here because the subject of the documentary is this group of musicians, and they were very prolific. They worked on so many different recordings that are owned by so many different companies. Given the volume of material involved in the documentary, yeah, you total it up. I could see it coming to that figure. What I think is interesting, though, is that, and the articles I read alluded to this, is that an argument could be made that it's fair use. You know,
right.
Copyright law always has an exception that even if you want to use something but you don't have permission, if you're using it for criticism, for commentary, you know, for some type of educational purpose, you don't need the permission because it's considered fair use. And I think that the filmmaker here could make that kind of argument, could say that I don't legally, technically need the permission because I'm making fair use of these recordings because they relate to the subject of the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've read, he's too nervous to rely on that.
And given what we started out talking about, where a whole website gets shut down by the record industry, you could see why he would be nervous.
Yeah.
John Reichman, partner at Kenyon & Kenyon LLP, an intellectual property law firm here in New York. He is the copycat. And John, great speaking with you again.
Thank you, John. Take care.
This is Soundcheck. Henry Mancini's Pink Panther theme, just one example of the Wrecking Crew, that backing band, those session musicians at work. Up next, M. Ward. He's been a busy collaborator these last few years with the duo She and Him, the supergroup Monsters of Folk. Now he's returned to the solo life with a new album, A Wasteland Companion. He and his band play live next on Soundcheck.